about the fact that we ourselves, before we get there, we have to realize that we're in mortal danger. We've talked about danger, we've talked about what we do when we're in danger, and when we had our scenarios, the thing was, we all said, in all of our groups, we needed someone to help us. And the Bible says that we are in danger of missing out on heaven and ending up for all eternity in an existence of unending sadness and regret and pain and suffering. Jesus spoke more about that place than anybody else in the Bible. I think that's actually quite important, because people say, you know, it's church talks about, and the word Jesus used was hell. And I said, the church talks about hell. Actually, it's not the church, it was Jesus that did that. And I'm glad, because it means that I can talk about it with a clear conscience, knowing it's not just me. And Jesus compared the suffering of those who haven't been rescued by himself, he compared that existence to a rubbish dump. A rubbish dump outside of Jerusalem. And that was the picture he gave of people. He said, look, if you don't get things right, if you don't get things sorted with God, you're going to end up on the rubbish dump. And he pictured to them this valley outside of Jerusalem. And it was where the rubbish all went. And the rubbish was then burned. And so outside of Jerusalem, there was this valley with this never-ending day and night smouldering fire that was there to burn up the rubbish. And he said, look, living away from God, it's like living on a rubbish dump that's on fire. It's not a pleasant picture. And he says that's where we're all headed unless something happens. It's not just the really bad people, the murderers, paedophiles, the drug addicts, the thieves and the cheats. He says it's all of us. Regardless of our disposition, it's our natural destination unless something happens. And you see, the problem that we have, and I think many of you know this because you've been around church for long enough, but I just felt tonight I've got to talk to you about this a little bit. We need to think about it, because it might be that some of us need to do some action on this. See, the Bible says that we've all offended God. We've all sinned against God. We've all done things. We haven't respected God. When we talk about sin, often we think about lying and stealing and those kind of things. And we know the murderers and we know the paedophiles. And we know they're sinners. And by nature, we all think, yeah, they deserve it. But, you know, the Bible says that sin actually is much simpler than that. It's just not honouring God as we should do. It's not thinking about him. It's not respecting him as we should do. It's like treating God the way we treat other people. Sin is when we don't respect him, when we hurt other people. Sin is when we fall short of perfection in what we think, in the words we use, or the things that we do. Anything less than perfection for God really winds him up. Do you have things, and we have it in our family. You'll have to ask different people in the family what they are. But there's things that we do that wind each other up. Do you find there's little things that people do? It might not be in the family, but just generally, things in life that really wind you up. Yeah, you've got them, Selwyn, your people in your family, just wind you up. I'll tell you what one of mine is. Crunching apples. Andrew will come in, we'll sit down, it'll be 10 o'clock, and we finally sat down for the... She'll come in with an apple. And she'll sit near me, and I'm just about to watch the news, and she'll crunch an apple. He really winds me up. Crisps. No, crisps are all right. It's an apple. I don't know what it is, but it's apples. And it just winds me up. Or sometimes people who drum their fingers or tap or do little things. And, you know, it's irrational, but it winds you up. Now, multiply that by a billion times and you'll start to understand how God feels about sin. And it's not just winding God up for no reason, because when Andrew eats an apple, that's my fault. That's nothing, she's not doing anything wrong, that's me. But when we do things wrong, it doesn't just wind God up irrationally. It actually goes against his very nature. Because God himself is perfection. And anything less than that is against his nature. And as far as he's concerned, it needs to be put right. Because God can't live with imperfection. So it has to be corrected or it has to be punished. And the punishment is this burning rubbish dump picture that he uses. That was what Jesus said when he was warning people that this is what it's going to be like. But that's only half the story. Because the other half of the story, the other half of what Jesus says, is that despite that, despite the way God feels about the things that we do and the things that the way we don't respect him and that, God actually still loves us. It was Jesus that said those famous words that God so loved the world, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That was why Jesus came, because God loves us. You see, we talk about things we do wrong and we talk about hell, and the image that people get can be that God is just waiting to smite us. That he's just waiting, he's delighted to get us when we put a foot out of place or anything. That's not the picture that God gives us in the Bible. In actual fact, it's absolutely the opposite. God does not want to smite anyone. The message of the Bible is that he loves us. And he wants us to be his friends. So the message of the Bible tonight is that God loves you. And he wants you to be his friend. He doesn't want to punish you. He doesn't want to condemn you. He doesn't want to send you away from him. He doesn't want to put you on a burning rubbish dump. He wants you to be with him in his heaven, which is the absolute opposite to all of that. But the problem is that we've offended him. And we've done that which is wrong, and we haven't done that which is right. And he knows that we can't actually do anything to get rid of those things. We might turn over new leaves, we might want to change, and we might change, but that actually doesn't take away the fact that we've already done bad things, does it? And to get into heaven, to be with God, those bad things have got to be taken off our record. And it's a bit like those situations that you had in your groups just now, you know, where people are in danger. What do? You call an emergency service. You get someone to help. And that's exactly what it is with God. He knows we're in danger, and so he's done something to rescue us. He knows we can't save ourselves. He knows we can't kind of get rid of the stains on our life. So he came to do it for us. And I want us to watch just it's about 3 minutes of a media clip. A real life air sea rescue. It took place, I think, it was 1992. So it's quite a while ago. Quality isn't that brilliant. It was a family of four on a boat. There was mum, dad, 13-year-old daughter and a four-month-old baby. And they were caught in the storm that became the theme of the film Perfect Storm. Many of you will have seen it. The three weather systems coming together to make the perfect storm. This family were caught in their boat in that, and they had to send out for rescue. And this is a little clip of that, the actual rescue of that family.
I see the guy's wife in the back. Do you?
I see the wife, and it looks like the 13-year-old girl. And I don't see the baby. Well, she's holding the baby, and it's got a yellow life vest on. You see it?
Yeah.
Yes, right. Paddle out.
What's Mario?
Bringing swimmer aft.
Okay.
Connecting swimmer to hoist hook.
See, the boat's moving. He's never going to be able to catch up to that boat.
Swimmer is ready.
Okay.
Have target in sight. Rescue swimmer's going up and up.
Okay, begin to open up here.
Roger, beginning hoist. Rescue swimmer is outside the cabin and going down. Rescue swimmer is below aircraft. Rescue swimmer is halfway to water. Rescue swimmer is three-quarters of the way to water. Hold position. Rescue swimmer is in water. Rescue swimmer is away. Hold position.
Paying out slack.
Cable. Rescue swimmer is in water. Rescue swimmer is okay. Clear move back and left 30. He's about 50 feet behind us.
Behind
back
us?
And left 20. Yes.
He's never going to be able to get to the boat.
He's towing a raft pretty good. He's moving in pretty good clip.
What that little clip showed us was the lifeboat, or the air sea rescue person being winched down. And when he got to the bottom, he actually unclipped the harness and swam to the boat. So the guy who was going to do the saving, the rescuer, got into the water with the family in order to save them. You know, that struck me as just a perfect illustration of what Jesus did. Jesus came down from heaven. He didn't just stand up there and shout to us to say what to do. Wasn't even just let down on a piece of string somehow. He was actually in this world. He came into this world, lived amongst us, knows what it's like, was in the same danger in order to save us. What did Jesus do? Well, he went and died on the cross. And what was happening on the cross was that he was taking the blame for the things which we've done wrong. So the punishment that should have sent us to the burning rubbish dump, we call it hell, was put onto him. And he took the blame for it. And he came into this world to enable us to get into the rescue basket. To get into the rescue basket is simply to trust him. And then we get saved. God forgives us. He came to make sure that we get saved. He came to make sure that we don't end up on the rubbish dump. It really isn't kind if you know someone's in danger and not to warn them, is it? Chris Frost told me a little story a week or so ago about a woman who broke down in a car. And she sat in the car and the car was broken down. It wouldn't start. She locked the doors, wound up the windows, and was horrified when she saw a man come towards her. Started to bang on the windows. She felt completely unsafe. Didn't know what was happening. You can imagine in the scenario, you're broken down and you've got a strange man banging on the doors, banging on the windows, asking to let her in. And she wouldn't. In the end, he went back to his car. He came back again. He got a hammer. And he breaks the window of the car and physically drags the woman out of the car. And as he drags her out of the car and gets her on the side of the road, that moment a train comes along because she stopped on a railway crossing. What would have been the kind thing to do? For him to leave her in the car just because she was afraid? Or to take drastic action? And what we're talking about here and what Jesus was talking about wasn't to scare us. It was because he cares for us. Because he wants us to be saved. He wants us to be forgiven. And I've told you tonight about the rescue that Jesus came to bring. The rescue basket is let down out of the helicopter. It's Jesus. You need to get into it. You need to trust him. You need to say sorry for the things that you've done wrong, for the offences you've done against God, for not putting him first in your life. Ask him to forgive you for those things, and he will. And then, of course, you need to determine to change the way of life and start to follow him and to honour God and to not do the things that you were doing before that so wound him up. It's one thing to say the words, it's another thing to actually do it. And there might be some of you here tonight that need to do it. And I've said this not to scare you, but it is a reality as Jesus has come to warn us about. And some of you have known this. Some of you have been to church. Some of you have been to youth groups. Some of you have gone to different things, and you've never actually done it. And I want to plead with you tonight, if you've never actually done it, it doesn't matter what other people think, because this is life and death. You need to do it. If you know in your heart you don't want to go to the burning rubbish dump with all of the pain and the misery and all of the picture that Jesus gives of that. It's a horrible picture. But he doesn't want you to go there. He says, I'm come that you might have life. I've come that you to rescue you. I want to ask you tonight to take that step for yourself. Get yourself saved. Let Jesus save you. Let him rescue you. Let him forgive you. And start to follow him. And actually what you'll find is it's the best thing you've ever done.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? Thank you, Marilyn. It is the best thing you've ever done. Because it sounds as if, oh, I'm just doing it to escape. Actually, Jesus, I've come that you might have life and life to the full. I've come that you might have joy and peace and all the rest of it. It's a bit of a no-brainer. But please, please think about it. If you want to know a little bit more about it, just take one of these little leaflets. They're over by the door where Chris is, okay? It will explain to you what it is to become a Christian and how you carry on a little bit afterwards. I'm not going to do the heavy sell on you. This is something you've got to do for yourself if you want to. If you do want to know some more, you want to talk, then please, you're welcome to come and talk to me. But this is life and death stuff. This is SOS. Save our souls. We need to get forgiven and we need to get right with God. So I want you to think about that. I'm just going to pause for a moment just so that you can think about it. If you are a believer tonight, then I want to give you a chance to say thank you to God for that, just quietly in your heart. Maybe that as I've talked, you know that you need to do this. And I'll give you the chance to do it quietly in your own heart. Say sorry and ask Jesus to forgive you and say you're going to follow him for the rest of your life. I'll get time for a few texts at the end. I've got three here. Two I'm going to try and answer. One I need to give a bit of thought to. The one I need to give a bit of thought to is this. Own up, whoever sent this one. What is your view of existentialist Christianity and its effect on the postmodern church? Valerie, I knew if it was anywhere near you. Oh, it wasn't you. She's like, one, not why. Second one, I think, is more serious. Is there anything that can separate us from God? That's actually a really good question. Is there anything that can separate us from God? Well, that's really what we've been talking about tonight. Because actually, by nature, we are already separated from God. The thing that separates us from God is what the Bible calls sin. It's the fact that we don't honour God as we should do. It's when we do wrong things. We don't keep perfectly the law of God, Ten Commandments. So when we break God's laws, break God's commandments, that separates us. But actually, it's just the fact that by nature, and it's the way we're born, we are away from God because we don't treat him as we ought to. We don't honour him. We don't respect him. That's what keeps us away from God. So that's a brief answer to that one. I hope it kind of answers the question. As I'm answering that, I just wonder if the questioner is actually thinking, once we've become a Christian, is there anything that can stop us from getting into heaven? That may be what the question is asking. I want to say to that, no, there isn't. God can forgive every sin, and he's willing to forgive every sin. Doesn't matter how bad it is. There is one unforgivable thing, and it says it's the sin against the Holy Spirit. And as I understand that, it is the fact that the sin against the Holy Spirit is that we don't repent of our sin, and we don't say that we're sorry to God and turn to him. And the Holy Spirit speaks and he applies the word, like probably he has done tonight. Some of you are thinking about this. To go away from that and to continue and then to die in that state of having not repented, not turned to it, not trusted Jesus, that is the only thing that he won't forgive. Every other sin, he will forgive. Okay? Any questions on that one? Steph? Is it possible to... many people do. If they don't become a Christian, if they don't repent, then, yeah, I think that's quite clear they have done. If they've not turned and listened and responded, I think they obviously have rejected. And they're going to stand before God and they'll be unforgiven and they're going to be separated from him. Any questions on that one? Okay. Last question was, did we have any tweets, Chris? No tweets. No twits here. Okay. Oh, I've got another one just come in. Right, this one is, who got into heaven? Princess Diana or Myra Hindley? That's an interesting question. That, and that is probably the answer. Only God knows. The question, if I'm picking on it, it's trying to understand what people mean in questions. It implies that one of them did get into heaven. Actually, we don't know if either of them got into heaven. We need to be born again, the Bible says. To get into heaven, we need to be born again. We need to get to that point of trusting Jesus. So for either of either of those two, lovely Diana, and we all love Diana. Well, I won't say we all, but, you know, she was that kind of lady that won people's hearts, wasn't she? The only way that she would get into heaven is not by being nice and pretty and kind to people. It's by trusting Jesus. It's the only way she's going to get there. Myra Hindley, who can say a good word about that woman? Some people, she has said at some point in time that she trusted Jesus. If she really trusted Jesus, then he forgave her. I can't judge that. The Lord knows. The point is, it's not about good and bad. It's about trusting Jesus, and he'll be the judge of that. Ernie? What about Hitler? The evidence is that Hitler never turned to Jesus. So, but on that basis alone, we can say it. But I believe that had Hitler genuinely asked Jesus to forgive him, then Jesus would have done. Because all of the message of the Bible is that the grace of God is wide enough, you know, to accept anybody, that no one's outside of it. But the point is, there needs to be genuine turning of heart. That's the point, and change of attitude.
God hears what we say, but he only sees our heart. Words easy to say.
Somebody's tried really hard on this one. It's Morse code. Is that Mr. Cobbled? You can't... No, it's not Mr. Cobbled. They got it. That'd never be them. Somebody's worked really hard. I think... Oh, yeah, of course it is. Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? I think the answer to that one is hallelujah. I have no idea. We have no tweets. So those are the questions. If you've got others and you didn't ask them and you'd wanted to, we're around. We haven't got to go. Time is up. There's going to be some more of that lovely galaxy hot chocolate. There's loads of nibbles. Eat the nibbles up. Otherwise, they're going to be here. And you know what happens when the food is left over here? You know what happens. I'm getting signals as well. We're on double bonus tonight. You know, when there's a crowd of young people here, they go in and they just get all the food. But there are hot dogs tonight. Is it right? There are hot dogs. Boys, as much as I'd love it, and any other of you I can't let five of you eat it. So there's going to be hot dogs. I reckon it's first come, first served. Two in the other hall. All right? So you just about come into it as well. All right, so we're done. If you want to ask any more questions, if what I've said, and I've said some fairly significant and crucial stuff tonight, and I know, you know, it kind of can cut and it raises questions. I haven't said it to offend. I've said it because God loves you. God cares for you. If you've got questions about it, speak to me, have a word with somebody else that you know as a Christian. But thank you for coming tonight. You're very welcome, if you don't normally go to church, to come back and see us on a Sunday when we do normal church mornings, which is 10:30, hour and a quarter Sunday morning, or on a Sunday evening, 6:30, usually an hour to an hour and a quarter. And we just look at the Bible. Usually we'll sing some songs. Usually we'll spend some time praying to God as well. You'd be more than welcome to come along. No commitment, be more than welcome to come along and join us. But thank you for coming along tonight. Hang around for a little while and finish the food up, get a hot dog, and go when you like. Okay, God bless you. Thank you.